All right, let's do this. We're going live in 5, 4, 3.
Oh my, just so many business podcasts out there. How can I possibly know where to begin? Here at Intrepid Business, we are about stripping away all of the usual boring fluff and instead focus on showcasing real people doing real business, achieving amazing things. The ones truly changing the world, the instigators making a dent, the people changing how we do sales and marketing, leading innovation, the people redefining leadership. But who are these people? Why do they do what they do? How do they do what they do? Find out on Intrepid Business. And now, here are your hosts.
Good morning and welcome back to Intrepid Makers. I am your host, Todd Schnick. I'm very much looking forward to this conversation. I've had the pleasure of chatting with other individuals from this great corporation, and today's conversation promises to be very, very interesting and very, very important in the world of manufacturing. So let's just get right to it. Today I'm joined by Monty Swinford, who's a regional factory automation manager with Bosch Rexroth, and I'm also joined by Peter Rochford, a principal application engineer with Bosch Rexroth. Gentlemen, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Well, it's great to have you. Happy New Year to you. I'm excited we finally got this organized. Monty, let's start with you very quickly. Inform the audience a bit about you and your background.
Sure. I am a regional factory automation manager here at Bosch Rexroth. I've been in the industry for, say, 35 years. And I am a professional engineer, certified fluid power engineer, certified motion control engineer. And I've been at Rexroth for the last 15 years and enjoying it immensely.
All right. So methinks you know what you're talking about. Peter, take a quick second. Inform the audience a bit about you and your background.
I'm a principal application engineer in our machine tool group. I've been in industry for a little bit over 20 years, the last 17 with Bosch Rexroth. I work with OEMs and integrators. We work with our CNC control and drive products to implement them on their machines.
Outstanding. Well, gentlemen, I'm pretty certain that my manufacturing audience is well aware of Bosch Rexroth. But Monty, do me a quick favor, just in case. Give me a quick 10,000-foot view of Bosch Rexroth. What do you do? How do you serve your market?
Gladly. Bosch Rexroth is a global drive control manufacturer. What that means is we manufacture hydraulics, electrics, as in terms of servos and motion control, CNCs, variable frequency drives, motors. We also make a wide variety of mechanical products, such as ball screws, linear bearings, actuators, and again, as I mentioned before, we operate in every corner of the world.
Outstanding. All right. Well, today's subject of our conversation is all around hydraulics and its application in a manufacturing setting. So why don't we lead off with a quick explanation of the basics around hydraulics, and perhaps you could share some examples of where that technology would be applied and used in a manufacturing setting. Peter, why don't you lead us off?
Okay. Typically, with conventional hydraulics, they use it for like clamping systems. They would use it on like injection molding machines, stamping presses, punch heads on punch presses to apply a certain amount of force or pressure in a very compact way.
Monty, do you have anything you want to add to that?
Sure. A few other thoughts. Hydraulics is one of the first prime movers available to us from the 17th century. The story, as I've heard, is when you take a cork and you put it in a bottle of wine, you push too hard, you can break the bottle.
Yeah.
So that led to some folks kind of discovering what hydraulics can do. And today, hydraulics is used in everything from aircraft to space shuttles to construction equipment to machine tools to you name it. And one of its biggest advantages is its power density. If you look at a 100-horsepower hydraulic motor, it's much smaller than its electrical equivalent.
All right. Well, you know, in all the conversations I have around manufacturing, obviously energy efficiency is top of mind and a very, very important issue. It's no different here with hydraulic systems. And we're going to get into some newer developments in this technology later on in this show. But I wonder if you guys could share with me, from that energy efficiency perspective, what are some of the limitations of conventional hydraulic systems?
Conventional hydraulics typically works like with a variable displacement pump, and a motor working at a nominal speed. That motor is typically sized on the corner power, which is typically calculated from the maximum pump pressure and flow. So the duty cycle is not taken into account. So it's providing a lot of excess energy into the system, even when it's not needed. So when that energy is not needed, the flow and pressure, instead of doing work, is actually generating heat. And that heat, when it gets in the system, has to be removed, which requires more energy.
So it's a never-ending cycle, almost sounds like. I mean, how big a problem is this in across manufacturing? I mean, what percentage of manufacturing plants around the world are using conventional systems and wasting a lot of energy? Is this, I mean, how significant a problem is this?
Well, this has been the standard. So I would say most, if not all, industries are using this standard right now.
Oh, my. So that means there is an awful lot of opportunity here. And that's what we want to get into next is to walk us through some of the new developments. So, Monty, why don't you walk us through some of those new developments on the market that can deal with this energy efficiency problem?
Sure. Well, at Bosch Rexroth, we discovered this a few years back and started to scratch our heads and think about how we could assist in reducing the energy consumption for our clients. And we quickly discovered that the traditional approach was not the appropriate approach for most applications, especially where there's intermittent motion. And so we came up with a whole family of different solutions called Cytronics. And what we do is we basically vary the flow of the pump and the speed of the pump and the pressure depending on what's required at the load. So much like a electric servo engineer would calculate what's needed for a machine or a function, we are now doing the same thing with hydraulics. And it's turned the world upside down in terms of, you know, what most hydraulic engineers know is the formula for sizing input horsepower, and it's torque times speed divided by a constant. Or in the case of fluid power, it's pressure times flow divided by a constant. And so, as Peter said, most hydraulic engineers would size that for the peak or the corner, and then not realize that their actual duty cycle is much less. And so they're putting extra energy into the system that has to be removed, which costs more energy. And then in addition to that, when they're not running at full peak, they're running at very poor power factors, which makes the utilities work even harder to deliver the energy to the customers. So they're getting hit three or four different ways using the traditional conventional sizing techniques.
Three to four different ways. I mean, that's significant when you think about all the conventional systems that are in place worldwide. I mean, it's staggering to think about what energy is being wasted there. So how do you lower it down from three to four different ways? I'm explaining the basics of how this technology, like variable speed hydraulics, how does it work? How is it? I mean, I think we've largely talked about the difference between this and conventional hydraulics, but shed any light on anything else that differentiates that.
For me, I start with the customers. What is the duty cycle and the application? What do they want to accomplish? And once they describe that to me, then we go back and we size the system for the peak and for what most hydraulic engineers are not familiar with. It's called a root mean squared, or RMS. And so we take a look at the duty cycle. We find out how long it's on, how long it's off, at what speed it's on, what speed it's not going to, or some other intermittent speed. And then from that, we can derive this root mean squared and say, that's the actual input power you need for the cycle. And so then we look at what tools we have available, and we size for both the peak and the RMS. And in many cases, we're able to downsize the motor input. We give them a variable speed drive whether it's a servo drive, if they need crisp performance, or if they need something with less accuracy, then we can look at something like a variable frequency drive. And when we put that together in a solution with hardware and firmware, we can then come up with a package that protects the pumps, protects the motors, meets the duty cycle, and then provides the energy savings. And it's significant. I just did a application for a gentleman looking to add a hydraulic cutoff to a machine, wanting to cut a part every 90 seconds. And traditional sizing was to apply a 20 horsepower electric motor. His duty cycle turned out to be that he only needed a tenth of that for his RMS. So there's 90% potential savings over what he would conventionally size and select for the application.
Well, 90% certainly gets my attention. Peter, anything to add there?
Yeah, I mean, also when you reduce the size of the motor, a lot of times you reduce the total cost of the components, because if you're not putting a lot of heat into the system, you don't need a chiller to get the heat out of it. So that you can reduce the cost there of the unit just by not having putting too much heat into the system. Second thing would be is the noise level. You can reduce the noise level from 10 to 20 dB because the average noise level is reduced because the motor's not running as much. And then another factor that's been for a lot of companies is they can also reduce their carbon footprint. There are a lot of companies that have self-commitments to reducing the amount of CO they generate during production, like Ford and Bosch and Basque. So this becomes a competitive factor for them if they can reduce the amount of greenhouse gases that they generate.
Well, I certainly was thinking about reducing the carbon footprint. That makes a lot of sense, but I hadn't considered the noise factor. That's significant as well. All right, Monty and Peter will return after this quick break. We'll be right back.
This program is brought to you by Miles Finch Innovation, LLC, a creative consultancy that is passionate about ideas, imagination, and facilitating a culture of innovation. Miles Finch Innovation helps companies navigate the messy territory of corporate innovation. They're strategic thinking partners who can help you get unstuck and identify creative solutions to your toughest challenges. They also love to train and speak on the subject of creative leadership. Learn more about how they can help you at milesfinchinnovation.com. Miles Finch Innovation, idea-centric, strategically driven, humanly conscious.
All right, we're back with Monty Swinford and Peter Rochford of Bosch Rexroth. So, gentlemen, we talked a lot about energy efficiency and the impact this new technology can have on that. Walk me through what it takes to implement and get up and running. I mean, is this a deal where the plant's going to be shut down for 6 years as we install this new technology? Help me understand that process.
First of all, we would work with OEMs, integrators, or even end users to investigate their process, what their cycle is. So we can get down with them. We can do simulations of their system to determine what size system that they would need. So in terms of what Monty mentioned earlier, in terms of peak pressure, RMS pressure, and flow. Then we go through that, and then we can say, okay, we've got this. Now we look at their total efficiency, what we can offer them to reduce the amount of energy they need to run their process. And then we can go through, I mean, we can do that from the initial design stage if they're starting with a brand new machine. We can also do machines that are already in existence, so that if they want to retrofit their system, we can look at that as well. We can do basically, can we just replace their user existing hydraulic power unit and just put a variable frequency drive on it and save them energy that way, or if we can need to do additional, modify not only the add a frequency, but add an additional pump that can is made to work with the variable speed operation. So we work with them through the whole process. We can do it from the beginning, from design, or at the very end for a retrofit and existing installation.
Yeah, so I want to be sure the audience heard that you can retrofit your existing technology. That's very, very significant. Monty, through the duration of this conversation, we've touched on a couple of examples of how you could apply this, but I wonder if you could share some specific types of applications where this variable speed hydraulic system would be ideal.
Sure. Work with a major injection molding client who, once they didn't hear their machines, fell in love with it. And that's important to point out. We're talking about energy savings, but there's a noise savings as well that's significant. And there's not been an application every application I work on, the noise savings is tremendous. And it's probably what is most appreciated, at least in the beginning. So this major injection molding client said, let's do this across the board. And so we did it from very small to very large, and we did it with a clean piece of paper. And by using a clean piece of paper, we looked at a lot of sacred cows that we had about tank sizing, cooling, et cetera, and realizing we're not putting excess energy into the system, we got rid of those extra costs and extra components. We actually downsized the reservoirs to a third of its normal size, again, because the sizing had been based on getting rid of heat. And then we gave them that noise reduction and energy savings. And that client's sales went through the roof. They're at capacity. They've been doing that now for 3 years running. Customers love the new machines. We're talking about machines in the 3,000-ton range down to 100-ton machines that are whisper quiet, energy efficient, and my hydraulic brethren probably won't like it, but even more accurate than what they were achieving before with an all-hydraulic solution. And the reason that is that In this case, we're applying servos for the prime mover, and servos have a very quick response. And so much faster than what even hydraulic, the fastest hydraulic proportional valves could handle. So we actually improve the product accuracy with the system as well. So it's been quite fun. There's another client who is a major informer, and they heard about this technology and gave us a challenge, and we put it on their machine. Again, the Whisper Quiet machine got their attention first. Then they made two machines, one all conventional hydraulic, one with this Cytronic solutions. Same part, same test, got a 90% reduction in energy and a 12 dBA reduction in sound, meaning if I stop talking, that's what they heard.
Just wanted to give an example of what it sounds like. So you said something critical earlier, the sacred cows, right? I mean, no surprise to you. I've had my fair share of conversations with manufacturers who are, hey, I've always done it this way. It's worked for 25 years this way. I don't need to change. I mean, are you seeing any of that kind of resistance? Obviously, you've indicated several customers are very, very pleased with the results of this. But how is the market as a whole accepting this new technology?
It is a challenge because customers are so used to, I mean, as I mentioned before, hydraulic started in the 1700s and hasn't changed much since.
Right.
Tongue in cheek with that. There's been a lot of improvement. There's been proportional valves, there's been electronics added on board, there's been higher efficiency pumps and so forth. So there's been a lot of improvements, but still, and there hasn't been a whole lot of improvements in quite a while. Now, all of a sudden, here's a game changer. A new way to size it, the same sizing techniques that a servo guy would do, electric servo guy would do, now we do with hydraulics. That's most customers are not accustomed to that, and so it's been a challenge. And I'll tell you this: where the lights come on, again we're talking about energy savings, but the noise reduction is phenomenal. And when customers can take a power unit and hear that familiar noise. And then you turn around and you flip a switch and you say, here's that same unit running with Cytronics on it. And they hear this really whisper quiet sound. They go, what's up with that? And then we begin a discussion. And then we start getting into the duty cycle and the intermittent motion and what are their needs. And it takes us down a good path. I've enjoyed this journey quite a bit because I feel like I'm helping people remain competitive in a global market. And that's really what the wake-up call is anybody who's not using this or talking about it or contemplating putting on their things to do is going to fall behind. And so hopefully your show will reach those folks and we'll get to help even more folks with energy saving, noise reduction, and improving their quality of life.
Yeah, well, that certainly is worthwhile. So, gosh, I just want to be sure we cover all the bases here. So noise reduction, obviously energy savings, reducing carbon footprints. And I imagine there's a – walk quickly us through cost savings. Obviously, reduce energy costs reduces cost overall cost. Is there any other cost savings we should be thinking about and any other real benefits that we haven't covered?
Well, in the case of, again, working with a clean piece of paper, we can implement this technology so that there is none or very little cost addition to the OEM manufacturer. And with that said, that gives them a tremendous competitive advantage over other technologies that are out there. They can make an all-electric machine, but those machines typically cost more. And all of a sudden, the advantages of an all-electric start to go away because they're not more accurate. They're not quieter, they're not more energy efficient, and that's what's been driving the electric servo business. And so this really, as I mentioned way back in the beginning, hydraulic has a distinct advantage in terms of its power density. If you need to put 10 pounds of product in a 5-pound bag, hydraulics can give you that opportunity.
All right. Peter, walk me through real quickly. So a manufacturer listening to this says, okay, I'm intrigued. I want to begin to explore this and begin to determine if this is the right fit for my plant. What are some initial things they need to think about as they start this process?
Well, the first thing most people think is they go by cost. They can easily do an analysis in terms of what the cost by a conventional system design compared to one with a variable speed. And what's really a nice feature of variable speed is this is all based off standard components. So you have your hydraulic components, you have your electric drive. These are all standard components. They're not like a brand new invention right now. So we're taking two standard components and matching them together for the system. So what I would recommend OEMs is they would get a talk with an engineer. It's okay, let's do an evaluation of my process. And once they see the comparison, the initial cost first between what a variable speed solution would be compared to a conventional solution, then they would have the next step would be, okay, total cost of ownership. Okay, how much energy can I save? How long will it take me to get my return on investment? And once they look at those numbers and see how fast that will happen, they're amazed that it's that quick. I mean, how simple it is to do. Once the variable speed solution system typically is smaller, less components, so it takes up less space. It takes up, the initial cost is not that much different from the conventional solution. And then they get the energy savings over the lifetime of the operation of the machine.
Great stuff. Guys, this is very exciting. I should get you back on the show down the road to just see how this thing's progressing through the market and how it's impacting manufacturing. Unfortunately, we're about out of time for today. So, Monty, we'll start with you. How can people get in touch with you should they have any questions?
Sure. They're welcome to reach me. We'll start with an email. It's Monty, M-O-N-T-E, dot Swinford, S-W-I-N-F-O-R-D, @ Bosch, B-O-S-C-H, Rexroth, R-E-X-R-O-T-H, it's all one word, -us.com. Thank you.
Great. Peter, and where can people get in touch with you and share where they can get more information on this new technology?
They can reach me at peter.rochford, that's R-O-C-H-F-O-R-D, @ Bosch, Rexroth-US.com, same as Monty's. If they want more additional information from our website, they can get at www.boschrexroth-us.com.
All right. We'll be sure to link up to that in the show notes. Monty Swinford, the Regional Factory Automation Manager, and Peter Rochford, Principal Application Engineer with Bosch Rexroth. Gentlemen, it was a real pleasure. Thanks for taking some time and sharing this exciting new technology.
Thank you, Todd.
Thank you.
All right. Well, that wraps this broadcast. Again, on behalf of my guest, Monty Swinford, and Peter Rochford, I'm Todd Schnick. We'll see you soon on Intrepid Makers.